It is a real joy and privilege for us to be here tonight in devout celebration of the beatification of Father Michael McGivney and in prayerful vigil for the Solemnity of All Saints. We are in the church not only in which our new Beatus is buried and where he received so many prayers from the faithful flocking to him from all over the world, but where for the first 7 years of his priestly life, he worked indefatigably as a parochial vicar to prepare his people to be saints. It was in the basement of this church that he founded the Knights of Columbus in 1882. It was in this sanctuary which he brought Jesus Christ from heaven to the altar, and from the altar into the mind, heart, and soul of his people. It was before Jesus in the tabernacle of this church where he knelt daily in supplication for those who asked for or needed his prayers. It was in this pulpit, with what his parishioners remember as a soft, pleasant voice and perfect diction, that he shared Jesus' words of eternal life and helped people, including many initially non-Catholics who would humbly sneak in here to hear him preach, to embrace the truth that sets us free. It was here that he celebrated so many baptisms and first communions, weddings and funerals, heard countless confessions, prepared the young to enter into the power of Pentecost through confirmation, and led his people in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. It was here in this parish where he founded a young men's total abstinence and literary society, planned parish picnics and fundraisers, directed highly successful plays, and carried out so many important social in fundraising activities. Little could he have foreseen, little could he ever have imagined, that this evening, 136 years after he left this parish, the young for whom he was considered an apostle during his lifetime would assemble in prayer before the God he loved and humbly served, as we substitute his beloved title, Father, with the celestial designation, Blessed. But as Catholics heard this morning at daily Mass, God exalts the humble. From this day forward, Our Lady is telling him at her Son's eternal right, all generations will call you Blessed. And how awesome it is for us to be here, in this holy place, on this holy day, to receive the grace that Blessed Michael, Our Lady, and all the saints are praying God to give us. If you ever have a chance to go to Rome, cross from St. John Lateran Basilica, which is the Pope's cathedral, there is what we now call the Scala Sancta. But at the top of the Scala Sancta, there's the chapel that the popes used for the first 1,000 years of legalized Christianity. It's where St. Leo the Great prayed, Gregory the Great prayed, Nicholas the Great prayed. And there's an inscription above the altar, because underneath the altar, the relics of so many saints were likewise contained, saying, Non est toto orbe locus sancti. There is no holier place in the whole world. And tonight, short of heaven, there's no better place to be. And God, in his love, has wanted us here. When we venerate those whom the church lifts to the altars, it's important that we try to read books and articles about them, listen to homilies and retreat talks they gave or others give about them, visit museums dedicated to them, and watch beautifully done documentaries or movies. It's important likewise that we invoke them as powerful intercessors, recognizing that their prayers can sometimes accomplish what ours alone mysteriously cannot. But it's most important of all that we try to follow them as they sought to follow Christ all the way, to imitate what's imitable in them as faithful disciples and ardent apostles, so that one day we might share their eternal company and joy. St. Gregory the Great taught us 1,400 years ago, Vita Bonorum, Viva Lectio. The life of the saints is a living reading an active exegesis, an operative interpretation of the Word of God, and a vivid reflection of Jesus, the Word made flesh. The saints and the Beati show us the beauty of our faith fully lived. They point us to the font of true happiness in this world and forever. They direct us to the path of life where we learn how to love God and others with 100% of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. That's why the best way for us to praise and thank God for the life of Blessed Michael McGivney, and the most fitting way for us to honor him on this All Hallows Eve, is for us to allow him to teach us about the way to holiness he strives so hard to indicate to his parishioners here at St. Mary's, later to his flock at St. Thomas's in Thomaston, to the first Knights of Columbus, and to so many others whom he encountered and evangelized. What can we learn from Blessed Michael McGivney to help us respond to God's call to be as holy as God is holy, merciful as he is merciful, perfect as he is perfect, by loving one another as he has loved us? The first thing Blessed Michael teaches us is that holiness is possible. St. John Paul II wrote in 2001, in his pastoral plan for the third Christian millennium, Novum Millennium Unite, that it was necessary to rediscover the full practical significance of Vatican II's universal call to holiness. He stressed that this ideal of perfection mustn't be misunderstood as if it involves some kind of extraordinary existence, possible only for a few uncommon heroes of holiness. People, for example, who have the stigmata like Padre Pio, who read other souls like the Cory of Ars, who levitate in prayer like Joseph Cupertino, who fast far away from civilization like Anthony of the Desert, who found religious orders like Teresa of Avila or Francis Cabrini or Elizabeth Ann Seton or Teresa of Calcutta, or who remain faithful under torture and death like the martyrs. St. John Paul II underlined that the time has come to repropose wholeheartedly to everyone this high standard of ordinary Christian living, the whole life of the Christian community and Christian families has to lead in this direction. Holiness is not only possible, he underlined, but expected, and not just of the clergy or religious, but every single one of the baptized. Pope Francis, in his beautiful 2018 exhortation, Gaudete et Exultate, on the call to holiness, talked about what he termed the saints' next door. Those who, living in our midst, reflect God's presence. He called these saintly neighbors the middle class of holiness. They're not flashy. They're not famous even in the eyes of the world in which they live. They seem on the outside to be ordinary, but in the inside, they glow with the fire of God's love for them and their own love for God and others. What I so love about Blessed Michael is not just that he's a fellow diocesan parish priest raised to the altars. I love that he's a blue-collar saint. He wasn't and never tried to be St. Augustine in the pulpit, St. Thomas Aquinas in the classroom, St. John of the Cross in prayer, St. Vincent de Paul among the poor, or St. John Bosco raising money. He sought to be Father Michael McGivney. In the midst of his daily prayer, incessant hard work, joys, pains, and service to God and his people, he did his absolute best to unite his entire life to God. He aimed to let God's mercy and love for him overflow so that his life would become a commentary on the words of consecration as he gave his own body and blood, his sweat, his tears, his calluses and fatigue for the salvation of those Jesus died on Calvary to redeem. So the first point he teaches us is that holiness is possible for you and for me. Many young adults wonder, why did God make me? Why am I here? And St. Paul answered that question emphatically when he wrote to the early Christians in Thessalonica, "This is God's will for you, your sanctification." Since St. John Paul II in 2001 said that it's not enough merely to call all people to holiness, he said we have to respond to that call. We need to learn how to respond. St. Thomas Aquinas once asked aloud, "What does it take to become a saint?" He replied, "Will it?" We have to choose it. We have to cooperate with God. Well, the choice between eternal life and eternal self-separation from God should conceptually be straightforward. We all know it's morally difficult. To will holiness means to will the will of God. It means to go the way of the grain of wheat, to lose our life to save it, to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow Jesus each day, to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek, to forgive 70 times, 7 times, to care for Jesus and the hungry, thirsty, naked, stranger, ill or imprisoned, to live the Beatitudes and choose to be poor in spirit rather than rich, to mourn compassionately than to laugh, to hunger and thirst for holiness rather than be satiated by the world's pleasures, to be meek and peacemaking rather than powerful, to be pure of heart rather than lustful, to be willing to be persecuted for our faith rather than voted most popular by our classmates, employee of the month by our co-workers, and have the esteem of those whose earthly opinions seem to matter. Blessed Michael McGivney willed holiness. He not only aspired to the end, but chose the means daily, faithfully, fruitfully. He recognized what St. John Paul II wrote, that because God calls us to holiness, it would be a contradiction to settle for a life of mediocrity marked by a minimalist ethic and a shallow religiosity. Father McGivney never settled for the mediocre. He wasn't showy, but patiently, from the time he was a boy, he put God first. He put others ahead of himself, and he never stopped. In the midst of his ordinary life in Waterbury, in seminary in Canada and Maryland, here in this parish, in Thomaston, he opened himself up to God, who can convert 5 loaves and 2 fish into a feast for thousands, who can change water into wine and wine into blood, who can transform ordinary life into something eternally extraordinary. Blessed Michael willed what God willed, his sanctification. And his example shows us how to will it too. The third point St. John Paul II taught and Father McGivney exemplified is that it's not enough to will holiness in general. We must get really practical. God would never call us to anything without providing all the means we need. What are those means? St. John Paul II said that there's a need for genuine training in holiness, adapted to people's needs. And he described 6 courses in that curriculum: grace, prayer, Sunday Mass, the sacrament of reconciliation, listening to God's word and proclaiming God's word by lips and life. Grace means that everything starts from God, who makes possible what he commands. Prayer is never just an exchange of ideas or words or thoughts, but a true exchange of persons in which God comes to abide in us and we abide in him. Prayer changes us and opens us to become an existence made prayer. The Mass is the greatest means of sanctification of all, by which the Son of God, who is holy, 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 comes to make us his dwelling place and sanctify us from the inside out. The sacrament of reconciliation brings our souls back to their baptismal splendor and fills us with God's mercy so that we can pay that mercy forward, not just to those who have sinned against us, but in all the corporal and spiritual works. Listening to God's holy word changes our mind so that we begin to look at everything more and more from God's perspective. It changes our words so that we increasingly echo God's word. Changes our hearts so that we might begin to long for what God desires for us and for others. St. Peter said that the Lord Jesus had the words of eternal life. We could paraphrase and say that Jesus has the words of sanctification. And the more we know and live and love those words, the more people will be able to say of us what Gregory the Great said of God's holy ones. Vita Bonorum, Viva Lexia. Once we really have come to know God's word, we can't but share it with others. We become like St. Paul, who cried out, "Woe to me if I don't proclaim the gospel." We burst to share it in every way, by words and witness. Father McGivney excelled in living all of these pillars as a disciple. And he stood out as an apostle in helping his parishioners, young and old, converts and cradle Catholics, knights and non-knights, live by them too. These six pillars comprise the meat and potatoes of parish priesthood to assist God's beloved sons and daughters in living them and helping them to receive training in holiness that makes it possible for us one day to be remembered tomorrow. Today, we heard that Blessed Michael's feast day will be August 13th. But from 1890 until 2020, Father Michael McGivney's feast day was the solemnity of all saints. And that's what's meant to be ours. Every parish exists to be a vocational, technical training school for holiness, happiness, and heaven. Under Father McGivney, St. Mary's was, St. Thomas's was, and he's praying that your and my parishes will be too. The fourth and final point I'd like to make is the special spirituality Father McGivney prioritized in the formation of the Knights of Columbus. We know that he founded the Knights for three reasons. One was as a benefit society to care for widows and children whose husband or father was either incapacitated or had died, so that the family wouldn't be destitute and the children wouldn't become wards of the state. The second was to draw men from the secret societies that were luring them away from finding fraternity and a sense of belonging in activities outside the church, in the domestic church of their home. The third was to have an opportunity to form men to be real men of God, faithful to the Lord, to the church, to their wife, to their kids. In the spirituality of the Knights, he put forward two principles of holiness and eventually added a third: charity, unity, and fraternity. Charity. In order to become a Knight of Columbus, one needed to be what he called a practical Catholic, which means something different than what we today denote by a practicing Catholic. A practical Catholic is someone who does more than know the catechism, come to Mass on Sundays and holy days, and keep the other precepts of the Church. For Father McGivney, a practical Catholic meant one who acts on Jesus' call to love God with all we are and to love our neighbor like good Samaritans. A practical Catholic is in contrast to a nominal one. Means a person who lives by faith, by hope, and by charity. The fruit of faith must always be love for God and others. And that's what Blessed Michael lived and taught. He lived it in his care for the sick. He's willing to sacrifice for the poor like the young orphan Alfred Downs. His daily visits to prisoners like Chip Smith we just heard about. And his care for the ill and overworked, including among his brother priests. He taught it in making charity the first pillar of the Knights. Unity flows from charity. We can't really love God and love our neighbor unless we take seriously what the Lord Jesus, when he was giving himself in the Eucharist on Holy Thursday night, turned to the Father and begged for, that we would be one, just as he and the Father are one. Why? So that the world may know that the Father sent him, and that the Father loves us just like he loved him. The whole church is supposed to be the sacrament of the loving Trinitarian communion. But we know that the church is rent by divisions between East and West, between Catholics and Protestants, between traditionalists and progressives, in so many other ways. It's the greatest scandal of them all. Blessed Michael, as a practical Catholic priest, wanted the knights to be like a church in miniature, helping to bring about unity in the church, unity in society, unity in the world, by responding to God's grace to keep their communion. And that is what leads to the third principle, true fraternity. We are our brother's keepers. Christ came from heaven to earth to found a family. And by baptism, we have become more related to each other by Christ's blood than I am to my identical twin by chromosomes. We need, however, to live that fraternity. That's one of the most beautiful things about the Knights of Columbus, of which I'm so proud to say I've been one for 27 years. As a member of four different councils, and as the founder in a church basement of one. The Knights are a band of brothers, laymen and chaplains, united not only with each other, not only with 2 million brothers on earth in 17 different countries, but also with Blessed Michael McGivney and other deceased knights. We pray with him among all the saints. It's a fraternity ultimately with Jesus, who took on our nature so that with him we could turn and call God Abba. The Knights of Columbus was founded by Blessed Michael to train knights in holiness, to make our faith practical. And that means of holiness and the men it forms is Father Michael's greatest legacy of them all. The Knights of Columbus exist to form men like Daniel Shackley, the father of Michael, the father of Nathan, who spoke to us tonight. It exists to sanctify men who aspire to form like the Shackleys, beautiful, generous, life-embracing, courageous, prayerful families. As Daniel said last night, and earlier tonight before our service here, if he and his wife Michelle stopped at having, say, 10 kids rather than 13, Mikey would have never been conceived. He would have never had his life in danger. He would have never received the miracle by which God has been so glorified and Father Michael McGivney's intercessory prayer and sanctity recognized. In some places and countries, the word knight can be cheap, given by royalty to celebrities whose lives are far from exemplary. The Knights of Columbus exist to inspire and assist men to holiness, not just as individuals, but as a band of brothers, a communion of saints, beginning here, but lasting forever. If you have a Y chromosome, and you're here tonight, and you're not a Knight of Columbus, become Blessed Michael's brother. You'll strengthen the Knights, and the Knights will strengthen you. The motto of the Knights of Columbus is Vivat Jesus. May Jesus live. In the essence of Father Michael McGivney's practical Catholicism was the vivid awareness that Jesus is very much alive. And as Sister Gaudia said to us earlier, came into the world to live in us. He was alive in Father McGivney's life. He's alive in the church. He's alive in the nights. And he's alive here tonight. Through the intercession of Blessed Michael McGivney, may each of us grow in the faith that Jesus, the way, the truth, the resurrection, and the life, is here with us always, making his call to holiness personal, possible, palpable, and practical, reminding us, I have come so that you might have life and have it to the full, and leading us day by day toward that place where Blessed Michael McGivney and all the saints rejoice forever. Non est in toto orbe locus sanctium. Vivat Jesus.